Welcome to the Tuts Experience podcast, episode 57, Brexit. Tuts Experience. Yes. Welcome to the Tuts Experience podcast on iTunes and any podcast app and via the Tuts Network and the Trending Topics Network. My name is Kieran Tuttier. This is a personal journal podcast of yours truly. I am a 30-year-old roadworks and publicity coordinator for a local bus company, and I am also a radio presenter on Forest FM 92.3 of the Eurovision Showcase. Now you can find me on Twitter at Tuts Experience, and also you can like our Facebook page, facebook.com/thetutsexperience. You can find us there. Now guys, it's quite a sad day, at least for me personally, and it has been over the last few days. Today is Sunday the 26th of June 2016. And on Thursday, and we found out on Friday morning, that the United Kingdom will be leaving the European Union probably within the next 2 years or so. But there is a lot of political instability at the moment, with David Cameron, our Prime Minister and part of the Conservative Party, announcing his resignation on Friday morning after losing the referendum. And literally today we've had about 7 members of the Labour shadow cabinet in opposition or withdrawing, because Jeremy Corbyn looks like going to be pushed out within the next few weeks or so, because he's become a very unpopular opposition leader. Now I'll give you all my thoughts about that as the show goes on. I'm trying to be a bit more, to be honest, a bit more optimistic about things, but we shall see. We shall see. Also, we'll have a little chat about how pro wrestling is going a little bit later on too. And we'll have lots of lovely music as well for the next hour or so. But this is how it all came down on Friday.
Well, at 20 minutes to 5, we can now say the decision taken in 1975 by this country to join the common market has been reversed by this referendum to leave the EU. We are absolutely clear now that there is no way that the Remain side can win. It
looks Watch and listen carefully. This is history in the making.
The British people have spoken, and the answer is, we're out.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
You have changed the face of Europe!
And these were the celebrations just moments before the BBC called the result.
This will be a victory for real people, a victory for ordinary people, a victory for decent people.
With the pound plunging, Remain campaigners warned of turmoil ahead.
This is a crushing, crushing decision. It's a terrible day for Britain and a terrible day for Europe with, immense consequences.
This moment, this is a seismic moment for our country that goes far beyond all the personalities. There's going to be a lot of chat what happens to David Cameron. This is a big thing for our country. And what this has exposed is a lot of division, and there's a lot of talk as if this is an overwhelming win. It isn't. There's 48% of people on the current projection who did not vote for this.
It wasn't long after polls closed before Leave started marking up big wins.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Across the northeast, results soon showed Leave doing consistently better than predicted. A big win in Hartlepool and pushing Remain into a narrow victory in Newcastle.
65,404.
A much smaller win than expected.
Votes cast in favour of Leave.
Away from the north of England in Basildon in Essex, another big win for Leave.
Goodbye, Brussels!
And another count with a big turnout at 74%. And in Flintshire, just as across the rest of Wales, voters backed Brexit. But in Edinburgh, the Remain campaign secured a big win. And there was good news for Remain across London, picking up significant Remain wins. But Britain has voted to leave the European Union, to tear up the settlement the country's had for decades, unleashing perhaps huge opportunity or perhaps huge risk. Perhaps both. Eleanor Garnier, BBC News.
Thank you, the BBC, and Eleanor there for that report there. Now, it's just a really unstable territory and unknown territory, shall I say, that we aren't knowing which direction our country's going. Now, the real annoying thing is here is that the Conservative Party can have to pick a new leader, and by the looks of it, they'll probably end up picking somebody who was pro-Brexit, so who actually wanted out of the European Union, and then take charge of things from there. Problem is that the majority of them are too far right-wing in their thoughts and in their practices. And all fingers point towards Boris Johnson, who could become our next Prime Minister, and I am very scared about that. Now, the guy is a very intelligent man, but he's a buffoon. He's an idiot. He's a comedian. You know, people think of how funny he was on the show Have I Got News For You? Which, in all fairness, he was quite funny. And he is a funny type of guy because he says the most stupidest things and looks like an idiot. But I just don't get it. So I just don't understand the popularity of him at all. As a politician, no. He's got the celebrity wing of his, you know. He's really the Donald Trump almost of the UK. Be hell on earth if he and Donald Trump were in charge of us in the United States. Oh, excuse me. I couldn't think of anything worse. Not good. But I don't know how the Tories who I'd like, but none of them have said that they want to stand yet. So we've got a few months, really, I'm afraid, of instability that we've got at the moment. So, there we go. Right, I would like to read out this comment that was made by Laura Kunzberg, who's the political editor for BBC. And the title says, Corbyn's office sabotaged EU Remain campaign, says sources. Right, so this is it from the BBC News website. Laura says, the Prime Minister's resigned, and no one knows who the next occupant of number 10 will be. And today, meaning today, Sunday, some of the most senior figures in the Labour Party are trying to push their leader out too. There have been concerns about Jeremy Corbyn's performance for months and months, but it was his role, or lack of a role, in the middle of the campaign to keep the UK in the EU. And his sacking of Hillary Benn in the middle of the night has given numbers of the Shadow Cabinet a final reasons to quit. Several have already gone, as many as half will be gone by the end of the day, I understand. And documents passed to the BBC suggest Jeremy Corbyn's office sought to delay and water down Labour's Remain campaign. Sources suggest that they are evidence of deliberate sabotage. One email from the leader's office suggests that Mr. Corbyn's Director of Strategy and Communication, I can't pronounce this name, Semulus Milayn, was behind Mr. Corbyn's reluctance to take a prominent role in Labour's campaign to keep the UK in the EU. One email discussing one of the leader's speeches said it was because of the hand of Seamus, this bloke, who's the Director of Strategy and Communications. It must be a bloke, could be a female, I don't know. If he can't kill it, he will water it down so much that I hope nobody notices it. A series of messages dating back to December seen by the BBC shows correspondence between the party's leader's office and the Remain campaign and Labour HQ discussing the European campaign. And it shows how a sentence talking about immigration was removed on one occasion and how Mr. Milayn refused to sign off a letter signed by 200 MPs after it had already been approved. The document shows concern in Labour HQ and Labour Remain campaign about Corbyn's commitment to the campaign. One email says, "What is going on here?" Another email from Labour Remain sources to the leader's office complains, "There is no EU content here. We agreed to have Europe content in it." Sources say they show the leader's office was reluctant to give his full support to the EU campaign and how difficult it was to get Mr. Corbyn to take a prominent role. Mr. Corbyn has insisted publicly that he campaigned hard to keep the country in the EU and that he made a number of speeches around the country and attended many campaign events, but many shadow cabinet ministers believe his performance in the campaign has shown that he is simply not capable of leading the party, which I don't think he is either. One senior figure told me, "People have just had enough and are embarrassed to be a part of it." Jeremy Corbyn's team are adamant that he will stand again for the leadership, but they believe the party members will back him again. He has had persuasive and backing from the party members who energised his campaign last year. But the Labour Party reels from Thursday's results, and it is not clear that support will be as solid as it was. MPs support that some of their members have contacted them to say that they've changed their minds about Corbyn. We'll see. It's possible within days that both our main political parties will be looking for new leaders. So, oh gosh, who knows? So, in the run-up to the UK's EU referendum, Russia became a part of the debate. The Remain campaign claimed that the Kremlin was secretly backing a Brexit to weaken the European Union. In the words of Prime Minister David Cameron, President Vladimir Putin might be happy if Britain left the EU. So is the Kremlin leader loving a Brexit? Not publicly, at least. But on Friday, Mr. Putin told journalists the referendum result brought positives and negatives, and he spoke about the negatives, including the unsettling effect on financial markets. But what are the positives? What about Russia's gain from Brexit? Well, there's a great article on the BBC News website from Steve Rosenberg, the Moscow correspondent for BBC News. So, it's interesting, but no doubt the Russians would be very happy the fact that the European Union seems to be cracking from under its toes, of course. So, yes, so that's how things are standing at the moment. And I'll get into more of my own personal views about it all very shortly after this first piece of music here on the Tuts Experience.
plus grand que la terre. Vous, donnez-moi ma chance.
Ne partez pas sans moi from Celine Dion. That was the winner of the 1988 Eurovision Song Contest for Switzerland. Yeah, so great song. Love it and love Canada. Oh, Canada. Oh, yes. My goodness me, don't they have an incredibly attractive Canadian Prime Minister? Oh, my goodness me. Oh, I'm trying to keep myself calm, but it's Justin Trudeau. I think that's how you pronounce it. But he's the 23rd Prime Minister of Canada, and he's the leader of the Liberal Party. There was a photo going around of him snogging the leader of the opposition, but apparently it was all made up and didn't make any sense. But yeah, so that was that. But his dad, I think, was former Prime Minister of Canada, which is quite cool. Yeah, and I love the fact, to be perfectly honest with you, it's incredible that he's gorgeous. Anyways, I better stop talking about him because it would be wrong. He was born in 1971. There you go. Yes. Oh, yes. His father, Pierre Elliott Trudeau, was the 15th Prime Minister of Canada. Yeah. So, anyways, that was that. Right. Okay. So, back to the old UK leaving the European Union. If I'm honest with you guys, I'm really downtrodden and quite upset about it, because I feel like it's not very good for our country. It's like, now, don't get me wrong, after everything I've been saying over the last, you know, 20 minutes now, there are faults with the European Union, okay? And I do agree that there are parts of it that need real reform, like electing a president of the European Union, for example, you know, head of the European Commission, unelected people making those type of laws, you know. So those types of things need to be done. The commissioners being assigned from the relative governments, and they're not the people who are being put in those things, in those positions, aren't being voted upon. So no doubt if people would be happy with it, you know, then they wouldn't have an issue with it. But that's an issue, and the EU are, you know, turning their way behind it. So that's wrong. So that does need to be changed, but we need to reform it. And it needs to be reformed for the rest of Europe to actually understand it and agree with it and be happy with it. Because it does have a lot of good things that people like us in the United Kingdom could take advantage of, and we've just turned our backs against it, and I think that's a real bad idea, because I think the economy is going to suffer, the pound is already free-falling, and who knows what's going to happen tomorrow morning when the markets open up. It's really a nerve-wracking time, so I don't know what to think about it, but we just have to going to wait and see, of course. So we'll have to watch this space. But I'd be lying if I didn't mention it to you guys that honestly, myself and Rob are thinking of moving and leaving the country. We haven't decided where particularly, but if Scotland do get their independence and stay in the EU, then we'll probably go up there. But really, on the top of our list, France and Ireland are there. And I could quite easily get an Irish passport because of my Irish roots. So that does help me, at least. And maybe a new fresh start away is it probably a good thing. There's been a lot of right-wing nastiness happening recently, not necessarily, and I don't mean to brash the whole Leave campaign with this, but there are honestly some real right-wing extremists out there who are attacking people from European countries and from other backgrounds too, who live in the UK, who work here in the UK, pay their taxes in the UK, and they're being attacked on the streets. There are numerous incidents being reported over the last couple of days where Polish people have been beaten up in various parts of the country just because of who they are. And I think that's absolutely disgusting, absolutely vile, and it angers and sickens me about this country you know, a decision like this, who has been made on the whole by right-minded people who do generally want to leave the UK and think we'll be better out of it, has been taken over by these nasty, disgusting people. And I just hope that some stability towards the country and the police can be able to make sure that these people can be protected. You know, that our friends are EU nationals who live in this country, and the people who attack them can be called to account and punished. So, yes, we'll have to wait and see. And I mean, this is the theme, I'm afraid, guys, is that we have no concrete stability towards what's going to happen next. It's a very awkward situation. Now, the really interesting thing out of this is the fact that a lot of people under the ages of 40 voted to remain, and people over the age of 40 voted to leave. And obviously the people, the younger people in our people, for the people who have voted, are obviously going to have to feel the repercussions of this for years and years and years, and we won't be able to go back into the EU after that. So it's a very awkward situation for them. There's a lot of the young guys, people who I've spoken to on social media and actually while I've been at work, who are very worried about this and really thinking about immigrating to countries like Australia, to New Zealand, to the United States and to Canada. So I mean, I'd love to move to Canada personally, but I don't think that's going to be really on the cards. You know, who knows what can happen in the rest of Europe? There's been a lot of statements made by anti-EU parties calling for referendums in countries like the Netherlands, in France, Spain, in Italy, and in Germany too. But today, on Sunday, the 26th of June, the Spanish people go to the polls to vote a new government where they've been in stalemate for the last 6 months. So who knows what's going to happen in that regard, but it could cause another European country to leave the EU. But the other interesting thing out of this too is that Chinese financial experts have warned that Britain's decision to leave the European Union would cast a shadow over the global economy, as their finance minister, Liu Xuei, says that repercussions and fallout will emerge over the next 5 to 10 years. And, yes, it could be reversal of globalization. And this could be very bad for the world and also for China as well. So these are having big repercussions across the UK. Now, across the world, of course. Now, the other thing here I want to stress too, as I feel like things would be a bit easier for the UK if other countries decide to leave the European Union and they have their own referendums. Now, there's a lot of anti-EU sentiment being felt in Denmark and Sweden, and also, as I've said to you, in France and the Netherlands. And if there is a referendum in these countries too, then the whole EU project, could be at risk. So we'll have to, again, see what happens in that regard. And go from there. Right, let's have another piece of music. And when we come back, we will bring back the segment, which I loved anyway, in particular. And that's taking a look at a Eurovision year from the past. Here on the Tuts Experience podcast. Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark by Pandora's Box from 1991. Oh, great tune that is. Love that. Reminds me of good times in the 90s. When I was young. I was only about 6 or 7 when that came out. That's quite funny. Right, we're going to have a look at a Eurovision Song Contest from the past. And review it, take a look at it, see what funny songs we've got, so what some good songs we've got, and just take a look. Right, so we're going to have a look at the 91 Eurovision Song Contest, okay, which was the 36th Eurovision, held on the 4th of May, 1991, in Rome. Now, due to the Gulf War and mounting tensions in Yugoslavia, RAI, R-A-I, which is the Italian national broadcaster, decided to move the contest from San Remo to Rome, which is perceived to be more secure. And this was the last event in which the Socialist Federal Republic of Yugoslavia participated. And in 1992, the contest saw the participation of the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia, comprising really only of Serbia and Montenegro. And it was the first time that Germany was represented in their reunited form since the East Germany joined West Germany by the German reunification. Carola was the winner of the contest with the song Vanguard Abend Stor Wind. And this was the third victory for Sweden and the last one being in 1984. And there was a tie between Carola and France's Amina with C'est la dernière qui a peur qui a raison. Okay? And both songs got 146 points. But back then, they had a countback, which the tie-breaking measure introduced after the infamous four-way tie in the 1969 contest. Both Sweden and France received 4 lots of 12 points, but Sweden received 5 points of 10 points, 5 lots of 10 points, where France only got 2. So Carola was declared the winner, and this was the closest that France ever came to winning the Eurovision Song Contest since 1977. And that's been the same till now. Had today's tiebreak rule been in place, France would have won in 1969 and in 1991, as most countries voted for it. So very interesting stuff. Now, the presenters were Gignoli Cinquetti and Toto Cutugno, Italian winners of the Eurovision Song Contest to date, which opened the contest scene with singing Insieme in 1992 and Non Onetà. Cutugno had some difficulty in pronouncing the song titles and names of each artist and conductors before they were coming on the stage. But despite this, in Italy, almost 7 million people watched the show. In addition to the tally of votes, numbers in English and French, Gignoli Cinquetti and Toto Cutugno gave each jury's allotments in Italian as well. So nearly all the commentary during the voting was given in Italian and not an official language of the European Broadcasting Union, English and French. And in Eurovision Song Contest, it's mandatory to provide commentary in at least one of those languages. Sarah Carlson gave the opening ceremony performance titled Celebration, a mixture of modern dance in ancient settings of ancient Rome. That was really funny, actually. The performance featured Carlson singing a mixture of a street dance and classical dance choreography of popular sounding music of the time. Yes, like we just heard from Pandora's Box, actually. At the time, Carlson had appeared numerous times on Italian TV and was seen as one of her largest audiences. Now, the Netherlands did not participate in this contest as it conflicted with their remembrance of the dead national holiday. And so Malta was allowed to participate in the contest for the first time in 16 years, unable due to the restrictions of numbers and countries allowed to participate at the time. Can you believe it? Can you believe it?
Thank you. welcome to the Concorsa della Canzone. The 36th running of the Eurovision Song Contest stakes. And we're coming to you in 1991, after that slight pause, from Cinecittà, the Hollywood of Italy, situated on the outskirts of the Eternal City. All roads lead to Rome, every one of them jammed with traffic. And the rain's been beating down relentlessly all week. The weather's made the Romans even more phlegmatic than usual. This has certainly been one of the most indifferently organized contests. We're hoping to come through the whole thing without much of a scar, though. It takes at least a half an hour queuing in the rain to get into Cinecittà movie soundstage on a dingy backlot, which is the setting for this year's Eurovision. Now, incidentally, if you're wondering what all this booking and winging going on in your screens is at the moment, I'm pretty well as much in the dark as yourself. It's been called a celebration, a fusion of ancient and modern. Modern music and dance amid the ruins of ancient Rome. The lady is an American who lives in Italy, called Sarah Carlson. There's some pretty ancient films on display as well here, and movie stars. When you eventually get a glimpse of the glories of the setting for tonight's contest, you won't be disappointed. Taken aback, perhaps. In his thrifty Italian way, the set designer has picked up some bits and pieces left over from Ben-Hur and Cleopatra and a couple of old gangster movies and tastefully intermingled them with some old girders he found lying around. And I want you to keep a particularly discerning eye out for where they've housed all the poor commentators. If you think it looks like it's been cobbled together out of sheets of rusty steel, the song contest itself is well up to scratch this year, the usual engaging mixture of innocence, naivety, shock, and horror. Some of the frocks will leave you breathless. The songs, well, I don't want to drive you mad with anticipation. There's even a twist this year. We'll be rooting, of course, for the United Kingdom entry, Samantha Janus, and A Message to Your Heart. Keep an eye out for it, and an ear, of course, because it's number 20 out of the 22 entries. The way things are going could well be tomorrow morning before we get to it. Now, United Kingdom bookmakers, I hear, make it the hot favourite at 5-4 on. But then they always do with the British entry. Sweden is 4-1. France and Switzerland are 5-1. Germany and Ireland are 7-1. Turkey is 50-1. And I think Italy is quite a good outside bet at 25-1. It's the last song in the contest. And complete performance, which I think will interest you. Mind you, in 17 years, I've never picked a winner. That's what makes this contest the glorious unpredictability of the voting of the international juries. Anyway, welcome to the backlot. Before you drink in the glories of the set, here are our presenters, Gigliola Cinquetti and Toto Cutugno.
Good evening.
Buonasera a tutti voi, amici, che ci state seguendo dall'Europa e da una parte del resto del mondo.
Benvenuti al
Yes, they'll be addressing you entirely in Italian throughout the evening, so I'll try and keep you abreast of what they're saying.
Al Teatro 15 di Cinecittà.
Siamo qui in Italia quest'anno.
Now, Italy's won the song contest twice, and these are the two people who've done it for them.
E questo grazie a una splendida vittoria di Toto. L'anno scorso,
Toto Cutugno last year won in Zagreb in Yugoslavia with Insieme 1992. I remember it well. Didn't give it a prayer.
Prendo il microfono con molto piacere. Grazie. 1992 Insieme.
Hello, he feels the song coming on. This was old Toto, taking it all in the best Gaza-esque tradition last year. The song, you'll remember, made all the impact of a ton of feathers internationally. But then winning songs rarely do anything these days. In the good old times, whatever won the Eurovision was a big hit all over the world, as you'll see in a moment. As Toto going up to receive his award. Just as somebody else knew will in about 6 hours' time here in Rome. He took it well. He's looking better this year. He was looking a bit drained there, I thought. Now that I hear the song again, I sort of remember it.
Oh, dearie me. Whenever I hear Gianola's sound of her voice, it just makes me laugh. I'd say for Toto, too. Legendary stuff. Now we had some returning artists. We had Thomas Forstner, who represented Austria this year. He also participated for Austria in 1989. We also had Stefan Hilmarsson, part of Stefan and Ife, representative of Iceland this year in 1991. He was part of Beethoven at the 1988 Eurovision Song Contest, representing Iceland there. Erik Hukarlsson was part of Just for Fun, who represented Norway this year. Also represented for Iceland in 1986 in their debut entry as part of Icy. And Hanna Krook, who was also part of Just for Fun. She represented Norway this year as well, and she also participated for Norway in 1971, and also in 1985 as part of Bobby Sox, and winner, of course. And Carola, the winner of the 91 Eurovision, she also participated for Sweden at the 1983 Eurovision Song Contest with the song Främling, Vad dörlig du för mig. Right, anyways, so what we shall do is we'll take a look at some of the songs in this year's contest. Now, let's actually start off with a song that actually got nil point. And it's the Austrian entry, Thomas Forstner. Now, the chap, Thomas Forstner, came fifth in 1989 with Nura Lied. But in 91, in his glorious return to the contest, he got zilt. He got nothing. He got nil point. And you probably, when you hear this song, you probably understand why it actually got nil point. So this is Austria, 1991, Thomas Forstner, Vidini im Regen, which is in German, and in English it's called Venice in the Rain.
Die sanfte Magie verzaubert, erfroren, ganz in dir verloren, Gefühle so tief wie die Nacht. Stilles Begreifen und Sehnsucht nach mehr, sämtliche Augen in dir. An meine Schulter vergraben, dein Zauber ganz tief in mir. Erfühlen, erahnen, von dir fortgetragen, bei dir sein und doch nicht hier. Stilles Begreifen und Sehnsucht nach mehr, zu zärtlicher
Danish in Regen from Thomas Forstner. Okay, moving on to Yugoslavia, coming second last, only getting 1 point. Baby Doll with the song Brazil. Finland, Karja with Horoyoi. And then we had Anders Freyjansson. Oh my gosh, this is a really awkward song to try and pronounce. Hylidur Halvinsrar. Where the heart beats. Yes. Germany next up with Atlantis Tausend. With Diese Träume das niemals überleben, which means this dream may never die. Aww. Just for fun, we're next with Mrs. Thompson for Norway. And then in 16th place, we got the Belgian entry, which again we're going to hear next from Clouseau, which give it up, which means give it up. Belgium, 1991.
Is het niet waar dat ik jou lang geleden zei? En te vergeten kom terug bij mij. Geef het op, kom terug bij mij. Loop hem niet zomaar achterna.
Give It Up from Clouds au Roux there, Belgium 1991. Next up, 15th place was the Icelandic entry from Stefan and Ify with Nina. Okay, and then Luxembourg, Cerebré, Brûlé, Volé, A Stolen Kiss. Then Greece, Sofia Vossou with Anixi. Oh, I love that tune, and we're going to hear it now. Sofia Vossou with Anixi, Greece 91.
Remix time!
Love it. So there we are. Sofia Vossou with Ianixi, meaning spring. Coming 13th in 91. We go on to the 12th place, which is from Turkey. İzhar Reyhan and Kan with Edi Dikika, which means 2 minutes. 10th place was Ireland with Kim Jackson. Could it be that I'm in love? Along with the United Kingdom entry, Samantha Janis, A Message to Your Heart. Cyprus came 9th with Elena Patrocolio with SOS. In 8th place was the Portuguese entry with Dolce Pontes, Lusitian Paixão, Lusitian Passion. In 7th place, the song we're going to hear next up is from Italy, the home country, Peppino di Capri, Come di Dolce o Mer. How sweet is the sea? 7th place with 89 points.
Amore, sole, mare, luna e stella, parola bella, sono parola bella. ci chiesta, parola su parola, ma soltanto chi non sa innamora mai non te ne vorrà più canta. Ma come dolce umano, come si dolce tu, quando l'amore è giovane, sole, quando tu stai con me, quando ti chiama Palomè, vola e vola con te. E gira, gira, mondo, gira, chiesa tutte stelle, non si può fermare. E canta, canta una canzone che nessuno sente, che nessuno sa. Ma sempre così, sempre sarà l'amore che la ci fa gamba. Amore, solo mare, luna e stella, sono sempre belle per cantare. Ma come dolce o mare, si dolce tu, quando l'amore è giovane, dove la moglie canta, a come bello solo, quando tu stai.
Lovely. Italy, 1991 there. Come di dolce o mer. How sweet is the sea from Peppino Di Capri for Italy. Now in sixth place was the Maltese entry from Georgina and Paul Giordimino. Could it be? In fifth place we had the Italian song sung from Switzerland. Sandro Simo, Canzo per te, a song for you. Fourth place was the Spanish entry from Sergio Dalma, Balea Pegardos, Dancing Closely. I don't like that one. Coming third was Israel, Giordats with Kun, meaning here. And France coming second, very close to a win there. Amina, Le Dain qui impère qui a raison, which means it's the one who spoke who is right. So let's hear that from France, 1991.
C'est le dernier qui a parlé qui a raison dans ta maison. C'est celle qui m'a donné un nom qui a raison. De toute façon, fille ou garçon, tous ces dictons sont des leçons. Ne dis pas non, le monde n'est ni mauvais ni bon, tu tombes pas rond. C'est sans raison. Wow, wow, yeah. La vérité se cache le fond comme un silence qui en
Wonderful is that. I mean, there we are with Le Dernier qui paraît qui a raison for France in 1991, almost winning. But now let's hear the winner of the 91 Eurovision Song Contest for Sweden. It's Carola with Vanguard of En Stor Vind, captured by a storm wind. Awesome, awesome tune there from Carola with I've got half in store of wind, catching by a storm wind. Oh, great times. Oh dear. Right. Okay, I tell you what. I do want to show you some of this now. I'm going to show you a clip from the voting sequence that no doubt will make you laugh. I have no doubt about that. Enjoy.
Spain, 6 points.
Spain, 6 points.
España, 6 points.
6 punti alla Spagna.
Turkey, 7 points.
Turkey, 7 points.
Turkey, 7 points.
7 punti alla Turchia.
Israel, 8 points.
Israel, 7 points.
Israel,
seven.
Israel, 8 points.
Eight points.
8 points.
Sì. Allora, 8 punti a Israele. Avanti.
Irlanda, 3 points.
Irlanda, 3 points.
Ireland, 3 points.
3 punti per l'Irlanda.
Island, 4 points.
Oh, Island, 4 points.
Iceland, 4 points.
Islanda, 4 punti.
Royaume-Uni, 5 points.
Royaume-Uni is 5 points.
United Kingdom, 5 or 4.
Five points. 5 punti per la Gran Bretagna. Okay.
So chaotic scenes all night round. It's something you should really watch. The whole contest is up on YouTube, so certainly one to see. Oh yes. Right. We'll listen to a song which isn't Eurovision related now, and then we'll come back and we'll take a look at a WWE professional wrestler from the past, probably. Well, we'll see what happens, okay? So stay tuned here on the Tuts Experience podcast. Thank
you. Yes, I am 50, so now we have to do a slow one, or else my heart rate will go through the roof. She's taking my time, convinced me she's fine. But when she leaves, I'm not so sure. It's always the same, she's playing her game. And when she goes, I feel to blame. Why won't she say she needs me? I know she's not as strong. Can she see? Why don't I see and cry for him? Why don't I feel and cry for him? Why don't I hear her cry for him? I wandered around the streets of this town, trying to find sense in the rain on my face. It covers the trace of all the tears I've had to waste. Why must we hide emotion? Why can't we ever break? Feel ashamed.
There we are, that's Rick Astley live in session with Cry for Help, one of his really well-known songs from 1991. That was live on Dutch television on RTL Late Night. Rick Astley's got a brand new album out, as he mentioned there, called 50. It's number one in the UK chart, so that's really quite awesome. And he's got a brand new single out too, which is called, oh gosh, where am I trying to find it? Yeah, Angels on My Side. It's really, really good. It's getting a lot of airplay over here in the United Kingdom. So wherever you are, do go and download it from iTunes, whatever platform you are listening to. Anyways, right, we're going to take a look at a WWE professional wrestler from the past, present, whatever. And this is who we are looking at on this week's episode, episode 57 of the Tuts Experience.
The World Wrestling Federation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
We're men! Yes. Men on the
ball! Are you ready?
I just want to continue playing this song, to be perfectly honest with you, up loud. But yes, it's Men on a Mission, a professional wrestling tag team composed of Mabel and Mo, best known as appearances in the World Wrestling Federation from 1993 to 1996. Yes. When Men on a Mission began appearing on WWF television, their vicious heel gimmick have been repackaged as faces. They were wore bright clothes, had positive attitudes, and teamed with a rapping manager called Oscar, whose real name was Greg Girard. And they were known as Mabel, Oscar, and Mo, effectively M-O-M, or Men on a Mission. Now, they had the image of three people who could be loved by the crowd, but who were also attempting to make positive change in their neighborhood. And this was accomplished through several vignettes showing them walking down the streets in the ghetto and saying positive things and talking about how things could be made better. Now, the team met moderate success and got over with the crowd because Mabel's unusual size and their in-ring personas and Oscar's crowd-pleasing raps. And their fun, loving personalities were prominently displayed at the 93 Survivor Series when they, along with the Bushwhackers, dressed up as Doink the Clown and wrestled as the Four Doinks in a comedy match against Bam Bam Bigelow, Bastion Booger and the Head Shrinkers. The team even won the match in a comedic fashion, with all four teams gaining the pin on Bigelow. Their next feud was against the WWF Tag Team Champions, the Quebecers, and Men on a Mission won the titles in March the 29th of 1994 in a house show in London, England. This happened when the larger Mabel fell on Pierre and stunned him. When the ref went to count, Pierre did not kick out as was scripted. 2 days later, to fix the error, the Quebecers gained the titles in Sheffield, England, and the title change was also reported on WWF television. Men on a Mission. They took a small break from teaming in the summer of 94 as Mabel, who was seen as a big star of the group, began wrestling more single matches in an attempt to get over as a solo wrestler. He was also used to help get rising stars over due to his size. So Men on a Mission returned to regular teaming in late 94 and moved almost immediately back to the tag team championship picture. The team was entered into the 8-team tournament for the WWF Tag Team Championship, which was vacant at the time due to the champions Shawn Michaels and Diesel breaking up. The team was eliminated from the first round of December 17th, 1994 by Tatanka and Bam Bam Bigelow, who went on to lose the tournament final against Bob Holly and the 1-2-3 Kid. Now, after that, they continued to climb the ranks of the tag division, culminating in a match against then-champion Smoking Guns on an episode of Action Zone, which aired in March of 95. The Guns defeated Moe and Mabel, who responded by attacking them post-match as a precursor to the vicious turn. The next week on Action Zone, Oscar offered an apology to the Guns, and on the show after that, Mabel and Moe decided to bring out the Guns to shake their hands. After shaking their hands and raising their arms of the Guns, Mabel and Moe then responded by clotheslining Billy and Bart Gunn to the mat. As Mabel repeatedly splashed Bart while Moe assaulted Billy, Oscar tried to intervene and plead with the charges to stop, but Moe shoved Oscar to the mat and held him there while Mabel nailed him with a running leg drop. Completely the heel turn as Mabel and Moe mocked the Guns and parading around the ring wearing their cowboy hats to antagonize the fans. And with the turn, Mabel and Moe dropped the rapping and crying and trying to make a different characters and reverting to the ruthless thug characters they betrayed before joining the WWF. Originally, Oscar was to remain as the team's manager, but he objected to the idea of the heel turn and decided to leave the company. In an interview with Pro Wrestling Insider, Oscar explained that the reason why he signed off to be a part of Men in the Mission was that he was a positive person and believed that the nature of the characters and turning them into thugs was something he did not want to be a part of. So he retired from wrestling after the turn. Oh dear. And just quickly after this Men on the Mission happened, after a short feud with the Smoking Guns, Mabel returned to singles competition and immediately given a spot as the top villain of the company, where he won the 95 King of the Ring. He began referring to himself as King Mabel, and Moe became Sir Moe and taking on more of a managerial role. Mabel was put into a feud with Diesel, the reigning World Wrestling Federation champion, with the two scheduled to wrestle at SummerSlam. However, the WWF plans changed on August 14th of 95, broadcast of Monday Night Raw. That night, Men of the Mission were to face the Allied Powers in the main event. However, Lex Luger did not show up, and the British Bulldog asked Diesel to team with him. Bulldog then turned heel, attacking Diesel and assisting Men of the Mission on beating him down. The feud between Diesel and Mabel fizzled out almost immediately thereafter as the Bulldog took over Mabel's top villain spot, and Mabel began a feud with The Undertaker. The feud ended just as quickly. This time, it was due to Mabel's reckless ring work and legitimately broke The Undertaker's eye socket with a leg drop. This was on top of nearly breaking Diesel's back during their feud, and both incidents both led to the release of Mabel and Moe in January of 96, weeks after Mabel lost a casket match against The Undertaker. Deary, deary me. So, there we go. That is Men on a Mission here on the Tuts Experience podcast. I hope you enjoyed that. That was quite cool, wasn't it?
Þetta ótrúleg för Jörðin breytist í myndir Þú ert ást mín og yndi Þú ert afskaplega sætt Sætust blómin þú fær Og mér finnst að mig dreymi En nú vöktum við heiminn þessi veru ágætt Já, höldum var Og nú fer töfra teppið hátt Nú förum við á svein nýjan heim Og fyrir hvað ég í mig
Já, höldum var Svo dásamleg er þessi ég Og er ég ferðast hér
Indælt hvað við svífum
Doesn't everything sound better in Icelandic? I think it does. Now, that's the Icelandic version of A Whole New World. Sung by Bergljot Hökdal, big star in Iceland, and she represented Iceland at the 2003 Eurovision Song Contest with the song Open Your Heart, my favourite Eurovision song of all time. And the chap was called... Oh, now, any Icelanders listening, please apologise for my pronunciation here. Þorvaldur David Kristjánsson. There we are. Right, okay. I'm not doing anything like that anymore. Thank you very much. Right, it's time for me to go, folks. But just to say that everything other than what happened in the EU referendum result, I'm happy with it. I'm all good. I'm happy, happy, happy. I've got 7 weeks until myself and Rob go on holiday. Well, long weekend, shall I say, to the south of France. To Rob's auntie Jean's holiday home. Looking forward to that. Down near Lourdes. So we're getting a nice flight with Ryanair. Yay. Stansted to Lourdes Airport. And then we're driving 10 minutes to the home. So I'm looking forward to that. That's in about 7 weeks' time. Yes. Yeah, so mid-August. So I'm really looking forward to that. Other than that, nothing really else. Got lots of things to look forward to in a few weekends' time, but it's all going nice and smoothly, I'd say. Yeah, slowly but surely. But I'm slightly addicted at looking at overseas houses on rightmoveoverseas.co.uk, so yeah, gotta hold that down, I think, at some point. Other than that, yeah, work's really good fun and going well, and life's great. So make sure you rate us on iTunes, guys. I'd really appreciate it. Please, please, please. The Tuts Network is what you're looking for. And also like and rate us on the Trending Topics Network too, guys. It would be great. Follow us on Twitter at Tuts Experience. And also like our Facebook page, The Tuts Experience is what you're looking for. And it'll be lovely to hear from you. If you want to email us, please do. TutsExperience@hotmail.com. Great to hear from you. Right. So that's it for me. I'll see you at episode 58. When will that be? I have no idea. Maybe in the next few weeks when we get a few more definitive questions about the EU referendum. But politics is such a messy thing sometimes. I respect everybody's, opinions and decisions on various things, so don't worry about that. You know, I'm not moaning continuously on Facebook or anything, but I am worried about my country. I really am, and I just wish things were the same as they were on Thursday, to be honest. So take care of yourselves, folks. And if you dare to, off wire, feed us in, and have a nice day. Take care. And before you go, guys, I've actually got this classic scene from BBC comedy Gimme Gimme Gimme to share with you. See you soon.
World over, it's the poor who gets the blame. The rich who takes the pleasure. I let all the bleeding shine. I don't often get bored with this mashed potato, you know. I wish we could do sausages like them lot over there.
I don't know what it is about sausages, but whenever I see one, I come over all funny.
Do you, Linda? I do you?
You're making some nice big lumps there, Linda.
Oh, thanks. I've often been complimented on the size of me lumps.
Here, Ron, don't you think me and Linda look like twins?
Peace off, go away.
You've got the sight in both eyes, obviously.
Is she a bit backward? Only between me, you and the postbox, I overheard this bird in the bog, and she said there was a new girl starting today with red hair who was a bit thick.
You don't want to take any notice of gossip, Linda. Tongues can be vicious things.
Oh, I know.
You ain't half good fun, Linda. Ain't she good fun, Ron?
I was a good time that was had by all.
You got a man, Linda. I bet they're queuing up for you, aren't they?
Yes, Daisy, they are. But at the moment, I'm young, free, single and slack. What about you, Ron?
What? Have I got a man in my life? Yes.
Oh, bloody hell, everywhere I go, I'm surrounded by homos. I want to go to another section.
I was only pulling your leg, Linda. The man in my life is my dad.
Oh, Ron, you can pull my leg any time you want. You can pull anything you want, mate. I'm very supple.
Is your dad tall, Ron? I always pictured him being tall for some reason. I'm mad like that, Linda. Honestly, I always picture people being tall.
Great.
He's about my height.
Oh, that's a lovely height.
Oi, you dirty bitch. Stop flirting over the conveyor belt. God, you're so blatant. So, Ron, do you live with just your dad or your dad and your wife?
I'm not married.
Oh, really? So what do you look for in a lady, then, apart from the obvious? Do you like a nice big chest, filthy personality?
I have to admit, I do like redheads.
Really? Well, I'm red all over, collar and cuffs.
You're naughty. You are. You're naughty.
I know. Bend me over and spank me, Roddy, baby. I'm bad.